So, Redneck, we've had a hell of a weekend, a hell of a week. It's been a long road, but we're here. We're finally out of the temple. We're free from Dario's clutches, which we'll get into in a second. But before we get into the events of the temple, how much longer do you think North Korea is going to be a thing?
Oh, well, honestly, if they keep messing with the Donald, before his 4 years are up, they're going to be erased off the map.
Yeah, South Korea is going to get a nice new parking lot. That'll be fun.
No, they're just going to become an island.
Oh, South Korea is going to be an... Oh, okay. It's going to be that. Wow. That is...
Yeah. Basically, we're going to bring in, like, big, like, giant bulldozer-type ships, and we're just going to, like, come through and plow North Korea out into the ocean. I mean, it's going to be great.
So you're saying North Korea will essentially resemble the Panama Canal by the time we're all done with this?
Yes. It'll be the North Korea Canal.
Now, that would actually be an event like the which the world has never seen. I believe that's what we were promised.
Yeah, exactly. And that, you know what? What they're trying to do with shooting these missiles at everybody, they're asking for it.
All I know is that Kim Jong-un better not send any of those missiles anywhere near Boyle Heights, because he has no idea what he's going to unleash.
Oh, Lord, God. Matanza could go over there and just take out a poor guy. Like, you once asked me a question about a million little John Cenas. You sent one Matanza over to North Korea, and it's over.
Yeah, okay. Then we're going to have the ultimate battle of a million little John Cenas versus Matanza, but we could get into that. And another day could be a whole another show. But anyway, let's go ahead and get into this week's edition of For the Love of Lucha. And we'll get into some of the action tonight in the temple.
Oh, let's do it.
They will be met with fire and fury like the world has never seen. Test why clap, see that flesh get scorned. So bad, make you feel like you ain't wanting to be born, John. Tell your friends, stay the hell out of my lawn. Chicken George became dead George, stealing chicken from my phone. Yeah. I'm not the dead pigeon. If you're my theosis, then I'm bringing all hate to Sicilian. Nobody shoot me. My body's made a hand grenade. Girl bled to death while she was tucking.
We had a very interesting beginning to our night. We threw a few too many back. CEO Hayes, we were talking to him on the phone. He was like, dude, guys got to do tequila shots. And I was like, this is never a good idea. And sure enough, I was right. So you and I showed up to the temple, fully sauced up. I guess I can't get into the details too much, but you were sort of acting a fool and you got us into some trouble. Redneck, I ain't mad at you, bro, but go ahead and tell the people what we dealt with this weekend.
Well, look, I'm going to be honest with you. If y'all ever meet me, I tend to kind of be the life of the party, especially if we're out having a good time. I tend to shy away from the tequila because I've seen how Hayes gets. And it was a special occasion. I hadn't been to the temple in a while, so I just wanted to go out and have some fun. And we definitely had one tequila shot, one tequila, two tequila, three tequila floor. That's basically what happened to us.
Yeah, and then it was, five tequila, six tequila, seven tequila. We're suddenly behind a prison door in the basement of the temple. Like I said, we can't talk about it too much, but essentially some of your actions got us detained by Dario. Thankfully, he didn't just have us killed or, sent to the authorities for that matter. Dario, I think he's got a soft spot for you, man. I know you probably irritate him a little bit, but there's something about you that Dario certainly takes some interest in, and fortunately, or maybe unfortunately, but it could have been worse anyway. We ended up kind of getting locked up in the basement of the temple.
Kind of like when, if you go to a football game and you get a little too drunk, they have like the drunk tank that they kind of sit you in to let you chill out and calm down. For us, I was kind of surprised because when I came to, I realized we were in the drunk tank, or what I thought was the drunk tank, down there where Dario keeps the people to get a little too wild and crazy. And then the door opened, and I realized that we weren't in the drunk tank. We were actually in a cell beside Matanza, and I was fearful for my life because, like you said, Dario has a soft spot for me in his heart, I guess. But to put us in there with Matanza?
Yeah, fortunately, he threw us into the side of the cell where we were out of Matanda's reach. But I mean, how long is the cell reasonably going to hold this monster anyway? I mean, yeah, I was pretty scared. And we were in close quarters. I don't really know what your 50 time is necessarily, but like in a normal circumstance, I feel like I can at least outrun most people. So I wasn't all that terrified. But being locked up is like, this is not good for anybody.
Bella, honestly, if it came down to me and you trying to get away from Matanza, I would trip you or push you over. I know we're brothers and everything, but I'd miss you.
I respect your honesty, Redneck. I can absolutely respect that. But now that I know, you know, that gloves are off in such a circumstance, watch your back.
Hey, it's only in life types of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, I understand you murder people on the low. And I wouldn't expect you to murder me because of what I just said, but, you know, a man's got to do what he's got to do when his life's in danger.
Yes, that's true. And you know what, frankly, of the two of us, like, I'm, you know, karma's coming back to bite me one of these days, and death by Matanza's not exactly what I was hoping for, but, you know, I can't say I don't deserve it. Many a body has fallen at my hands. Nonetheless, so we did get some actual combat tonight, which was fun. We got Son of Madness taking on Masquerita Sagrada. The Great Rabbit King didn't bring his A game necessarily tonight, but he was putting up quite a bit of a fight here early on. Son of Madness, we don't still really know a whole lot much about them, really. I mean, other than the fact that they're linked to, that Son of Madness is linked to Son of Havoc. Son of Madness ends up winning this match with a Brain Buster. Son of Havoc comes out to attack Son of Madness. There's a lot of Son of's here, folks. Keep up with me. But then Dario comes out, he calls for security, he asks security to stop this madness and this havoc, and then he laughs to himself as the crowd is watching all the stuff that's going on in the ring with the security. Paul London sneaks in and grabs Masquerita Sagrada and takes him off to safety.
As he should.
The Great Rabbit King and the great disciple that Paul London is. Dario ends up making a match between the Sons of for later on in the night. It's going to be a Boyle Heights biker brawl, and it's going to be for one of the ancient Aztec medallions. Son of Madness mouths, "What does that mean?" And then we end up moving on from there. What did you make of the match, of the post-match, and of this announcement for our future match?
Well, I know you might be suffering a little bit of PTSD from what we witnessed tonight at the temple and what we went through, or the other day at the temple. You didn't even get into the fact that Dario wants Matanza to kill Rey Mysterio, because Rey hit Dario with the 619 when he came in and told us that and freed us. I was kind of shocked that he's sending Matanza. I guess on the 100th episode, Rey Mysterio is going to die at the hands of Matanza. Let's just go ahead and throw that out there, everybody. Yeah. But going to this match, man, Masquerita Sagrada came out with he grabbed Madness's colors and had colors in the ring, and that was quite hilarious. Paul London coming out and saving Masquerita was also great too, but it sets up that biker match, and you know, what do you expect from a biker match? I mean, are they going to have motorcycles? I expect beer bottles and maybe some chains, sexy women maybe.
That would have been nice, definitely. Yeah, you know what, I must have just blacked out that whole Matanza going for Rey thing. Maybe I wasn't fully come to. You're right, maybe it is a little bit of PTSD. I don't know how I skipped that over that, but nonetheless, yeah, I mean, I'm not fully expecting a bike to be anywhere in the picture, while you would imagine first thing jumps in your mind when you think of a biker is in fact a bike. But they are very protective of their bikes, even other people's bikes. You know, you won't see like one biker from one biker gang like go over and scratch up another biker's bike. They'll punch the biker in the face more quickly than they would actually, you know, hurt this wonderful, cherished piece of machinery that they love so much. So I was expecting some chains, yeah, maybe some beer bottles, maybe, I mean, yeah, a few scantily leather-clad women would be nice for this as well. We'll get into what actually happened with the match, but, I mean, Son of Madness, Son of Havoc, I mean, we know that these two are going to be locking horns until pretty much one of them disappears. So, I mean, yeah, let Dario go ahead and expedite this process by putting some weapons into the mix. Again, Dario, on top of his game, he is a King Buka in and of himself.
Yeah, you know, there's kind of an overall theme. As you were talking, I kind of thought of this. There's kind of an overall theme to the show that we happened to see. It's kind of a respect. Dario tried to teach us that lesson. You got Son of Havoc and Son of Madness. He's trying to basically the respect of the colors and between them two. And then later on here with Marty the Moth and Arhennis, he rips the mask off, and that's very disrespectful. And of course, Phoenix comes out to do what he has to do. And I'll let you get into that kind of as we go forward.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely if the theme of the first match was respect, this match, the theme of which would most certainly be disrespect. You know, Marty the Moth taking on Arhennis. Arhennis we don't see a whole lot of. Frankly, most of the people on the card tonight are people we haven't seen a whole lot of because they got knocked out of that Cueto Cup tournament weeks upon weeks ago. So we haven't seen a ton of them, especially in the ring. So it's good to see Marty back in the ring. He may be a creepy son of a bitch, but he's one of my favorites. As far as the luchadors that we get to see on a regular basis here in the temple. Mariposa accompanies him to the ring. He's creeping really hard on Melissa Santos during the course of this match. I mean, it was pretty one-sided. Marty rips Arhennis' mask, throws Arhennis to the outside, distracts the ref. Mariposa beats the shit out of Arhennis and ends up, he's bleeding all over the place. He just looks like he's been in a car wreck. His mask is completely not even there anymore at this point. Mariposa kind of working the crowd a little bit, which was interesting. She normally doesn't interact with us believers all that often. At this point, Melissa is now yelling from her little seat to Marty, like, what are you doing, Marty? Like, this beating has just gotten far too brutal, even for her, considering some of the things she's seen in the temple. That speaks volumes, but Marty wins with his beautiful finishing maneuver, double underhook, gut buster of some sort. It's a beautiful move, considering it's coming from such a freak of a human being. It's very ironic, I guess, but the mask ends up getting taken off afterwards, after Marty ends up taking the win. He tells Mariposa to go get him the mic, and then she goes and grabs it from Melissa Santos, and Marty wants Phoenix, and he wants Phoenix's mask, so he's asking Phoenix to put the mask up on the line in a match at Ultima Lucha Trace, and Phoenix comes out from behind Marty, attacks Mariposa, attacks Marty, runs them off. Melissa joins him in the ring, and he says he'll accept the match, but Marty's going to have to put his hair on the line. I've never known Marty to be particularly attached to his hair, but I guess this works. What did you think about this, and what do you think about that match that we'll ultimately see in a few weeks?
Oh, well, honestly, first things first about Melissa. That's probably the driest I've ever seen the floor be under her.
She was scared. She didn't have time for other emotions.
I mean, like, whatever moisture was in the air just instantly dried, like, when Marty came by, just dried out. He just has that effect on her, the opposite effect that Phoenix has on her, where she just gushes and just floods the whole floor.
Yeah.
I'm all about respect, Bello, and just what he did to Arhennis, I can't believe it. First off, you don't rip the mask like that. Then you don't take it off of their face. I mean, that's a sacred thing. You know, Rey Mysterio came out from under, you know, they have to choose to be able to come out from under the mask. Guys like Rey Mysterio have come out from under the mask before. You don't see Puma taking his mask off. It's all about respect. And what he did was very disrespectful. And Phoenix is going to bring it. I have all faith that Phoenix is going to win this mask versus hair match. And we're going to see Marty getting shaved bald in that ring.
Honestly, as much as I want to see, like, the good deed done here, and I want Phoenix to win and fight for Melissa's honor and all of that good stuff, I don't know that I'm prepared for a bald Marty the Moth Martinez, and I'm not all that attached to Phoenix. As a matter of fact, he's, you know, having sex with a woman that I think we'd all like to be switching places with him. So Phoenix, not exactly drawing all the sympathy in the world for me. And, I mean, you know, again, Marty's hair, I'm afraid that not only are they going to shave his head, but he's going to look like one of those dolls that was at that kid's house at Toy Story, where it's just, like, sort of sticking out one side and maybe, I don't know. It's just going to be even creepier. I don't need any more creep from Marty the Moth. He's at a perfectly acceptable, well, not even, he's beyond an acceptable level of creep as it is. I don't need any more of it.
Imagine wrestling with that guy. Like, I'm sure he smells. Like, like, he's just so greasy and nasty. It's disgusting watching him in the ring and wrestle with those guys. Though I have to give props. I think it was Marty Elias that was in the ring fast acting to throw a towel over Arrhenius's face and head so that you don't get to see what he looks like. Because, you know, the mask is the character, and that's what makes the man.
Yeah, no, that is very good. And that's why he's senior referee Marty Elias. You know, we don't fuck around here in the temple. We get the best and the brightest, except for Justin Borden. He's a little bitch. But yeah, there's something to be said about all this. I mean, I'm seeing the writing on the wall here. I'm a big believer in just sort of fate and destiny outside of the walls of the temple. And so, you know, seeing some of the stuff that we've seen, I think we can probably safely say Phoenix will pull this one out. Mariposa is going to try to help on Marty's behalf. And she'll be thwarted by Melissa Santos. This is how I see it all playing out. You see it any differently?
No. I mean, honestly, do you think Santos would get in the ring? Like, do you think she's been training? Like, Phoenix is secretly training her on the side to make her Lucha Underground debut, maybe at the 100th episode, if that's, I guess that's something popular, or Ultima Lucha Trace, maybe she comes out and they have an actual match.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to have an actual match. Actually, kind of since our time at the temple has been progressing, I've sort of been thinking that we were going to end up with some sort of tag team match, that maybe Melissa was going to get into the ring and it was going to be Melissa and Phoenix versus Marty and Mariposa. Now that the match has actually been made, I'm inclined to think that she's definitely not going to be putting on any boots and getting up on the apron and, you know, waiting for a hot tag anytime soon. But I could see the fact that maybe she just gets involved on the outside. Maybe she just, you know, she's not even in his corner, but she's always ringside. So if Mariposa goes to get involved, maybe she hops up on the apron. Doesn't take a whole lot of training to just grab somebody's ankle and pull them off. So maybe that's what we get from Melissa. But I'm sure as much as the prospect of having to do that scares her, she'll be happy to step up for her man.
Of course. You need a man always needs a good, strong woman behind him.
That's right. It's absolutely correct. And speaking of strong women, but there's just something about one of the participants in this next match that just, I don't know, I don't have a logical explanation for it, but our next match is Sexy Star versus Joey Ryan. I can't put my finger on it, but there's just something about Sexy Star. She's just not quite feeling as sexy this week. I don't know that it's a different look. There's something in the air around her. Were you feeling it too?
When we were watching them come out, you kind of made mention of this, and I kind of looked at you funny, like, dude, like, you know, Joey Ryan's one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. Like, why are you talking about him like that? Of course, there's something weird going on in the ring. He's kind of a man's man. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's got that. People see him as somebody who's lecherous, but I he's a man's man. I model my chest hair after him. My mustache is groomed kind of like his. Yeah, I kind of did get a weird vibe from Sexy Star after you did kind of explain kind of what you meant by that.
Yeah, I don't really know that maybe whatever explanation I gave at the time maybe was better than whatever one I could come up with now, but there's usually sort of like this nice aura around Sexy Star that maybe just wasn't there, and I'm slowly coming around to Joey Ryan, probably partially because of your influence, so it was easy for me to kind of just ignore whatever turmoil I was going on in my head surrounding Sexy Star and just focus on this match, because, you know, anytime Joey Ryan is in the ring with any woman, it tends to be pretty entertaining, and this was no different. This was a pretty good match. We get Taya coming out around, you know, a couple minutes into the match with a Go Sexy Star sign she's walking around with. And Sexy ends up attacking Taya on the outside. Now, Taya was by no means minding her own business, but she wasn't exactly, like, getting involved in the match either. This was something Sexy Star clearly went out of her way to take a shot at Taya when she thought she could. And she paid for it. She rolls back into the ring. Joey Ryan catches her with the super kick. And that's all she wrote. He ends up winning the match. And Cortez Castro ends up coming out to attack him after being unmasked last week. And he was obviously playing Veneno. Or undercover, rather, as Veneno, as it may be. And now he's been unmasked, and he's angry that Joey had something to do with it. So that ends up happening. Basically, this was a match here that really led to kind of just split off into two other future matches, in all likelihood.
Yeah, Sexy Star and Taya, their feud's kind of going on right now. I honestly thought Taya was coming down to mess with Joey again because, you know what she did to her in the Cueto Cup. We talked about that. And Sexy Star kind of copied her moves, and she must have watched the same match because she grabbed Joey Ryan's hair. She's a dirty cheater now in my book. when you do something like that. Joey's not pulling your hair. He you know, he didn't do anything out of line to for you to do something like that. So in my book, she's a cheater now and forever will be a cheater. Yeah, I don't like Sexy Star anymore now.
You know what? I might as well just get to it, Redneck. I got some bad news for you, buddy. Joey Ryan, I know he's your boy and all, but shortly after this match, I happened to follow Cortez Castro into the back, and he went into Dario's office with kendo stick still in hand. And based on the conversation I heard, and I'll get into it in a second, but you know, let's not bury the lead here. Apparently, Joey Ryan is an undercover police officer as well. I didn't know how to break it to you, so just went ahead and said it. What do you think about all this?
Wait, what? Hang on one second. Are you serious? I mean, I know you wouldn't really lie to me about these things, Bello, but are you being for real?
I would absolutely lie to you about these things, but I am not in this particular instance. No, it sounds like I said, we found out Cortez Castro was Veneno last week. It sounds like Joey Ryan had something to do with the unmasking of Veneno to ultimately reveal Cortez Castro, and it turns out that apparently the reason he knew this is because he's a cop.
So everything's been a lie? Like he's Magnum P.I. because he's really Magnum P.I.?
I guess that's a good way of looking at it. I mean, just because he's a cop, Redneck, doesn't mean that he doesn't have fantastic chest hair and that he isn't a sleaze.
No, but Bello, I've let him into some of my operations. I've had Joey around some of the things that I do outside of the temple. And I've asked him numerous times if he was a cop, and he's told me no.
Well,
I mean, just fuck Joey Ryan now.
I thought they have to tell you.
I mean, I don't know nowadays. I mean, just fuck that guy. I mean, how can you go around be a cop snitching on people like that?
Yeah, I mean, it broke my heart a little bit, too. It did sort of make sense, I guess. I don't know. There was something that always threw me off a little bit about Joey Ryan. Maybe that was part of my hesitance that led me to ultimately have to be pulled back into his, into being a fan of his. But, man, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry to have to break this news to you. But there was some other information that we found out during the course of that conversation. Dario calls Castro out for being a cop as well. And then, like I said, we find out that Joey was the one that gave him up, essentially. So, you know, Castro says to Dario that he should arrest him. Dario's not particularly concerned. He does get up from his desk, and the first thing he does is grab that Red Bull that's always sitting there. And he offers Castro a match against Joey Ryan next weekend, the first ever 5-0 street fight. Castro doesn't work for Dario anymore, so he's not all that interested, but Dario knows that he does like the fight. He says, you know, you might have been faking your identity, but you can't fake the fact that you want to fight. And that you want to prove that you're tougher than Joey Ryan. And he'll even put one of the Aztec medallions on the line. So Castro accepts, and Dario seems awfully attached to that bull. What do you think about this exchange? What do you think about the bull? And how badly, like, who do you root for in a match of cop versus cop?
Well, I mean, I don't really personally like cops all that much. I feel like Joey lied to me, so I'm going to pull for Cortez, I guess. I'm just still devastated. I mean, I'm wearing a Joey Ryan shirt right now because I was excited to talk about this stuff with you and the fact that I got to see Joey perform. I mean, I don't think Joey deserves to get a medallion after everything that he's done. And this is me being personal. That bull in Dario's office, as you said, he's kind of treating it like his precious. I don't know if maybe he keeps his stash in there. If there's some kind of personal meaning that's there on that bull, I don't know what it could mean. I mean, keeping the stash is probably the best thing. He's probably got his drugs in there.
Yeah, I mean, I've got an idea, but what is Dario Cueto's drug of choice, if you had to guess?
Ooh. He's a high society type of guy. He's probably into like coke and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I could see that. I would have went with, I don't know, I could see him being...
Oh, you don't get the Scarface vibe from him?
I definitely get the Scarface vibe. I also get sort of like a level of like enlightenment and sophistication. I don't want to say necessarily acid, but I could see Dario out in the desert just kind of tripping some peyote on the weekends.
Yeah, I have actually seen a bottle of Adderall sitting on his desk.
Okay. Well, that's, yeah, maybe that's to help him get back up from the come downs. But either way, Dario, with this bull, I mean, I've had my theories. Basically, there's the buzz around the temple for people who have been going there longer than we have. I was kind of asking around about, hey, you know anything about this Dario, like this bull that he's got in his office? Not as many people have been as fortunate as us as to get into the office. But the handful of people that did seem to think that it's some sort of relic. There's even rumors that, you know, Dario's mother was killed, being bludgeoned to death by that bull. There was some sort of exchange with her and Dario at a young age. A Matanza came in and helped, or vice versa. It's sort of fuzzy because people don't really know all the details, and how could we? But that bull might have some sort of magical powers, and let's face it, it wouldn't be the first time that we found something in this temple that has some sort of paranormal, supernatural powers that we didn't see coming.
I mean, would you be surprised if that bull turned into a real bull or something like that?
No, that would be like the least weird thing it could do, honestly. If the bull turned into a banana, that would be like, all right, that's interesting, but... Yeah, no, the bull turning into a bull, yeah, that adds up. That's just fine with me.
What if Mantar come? What if he somehow figured out how to get Mantar? What if that's Mantar?
Yeah, I mean, Mantar would fit right in here in the temple. We need to, if that isn't already in the works, we need to talk to Dario. Hopefully, the next time we're in a better shape and maybe not behind bars when we get the chance to talk to him, if he talks to us again.
Hayes. We're going to try to do better.
We are. We're going to try to do better. But, I mean, with this 5-0 street fight, I mean, I personally have a Blue Lives Matter sticker on my car, but that's mostly just so I don't get pulled over when I got bodies in the back. So, frankly, I'm rooting for let's hope they just kill each other, right? Like, I mean, these fairly inconsequential people here in the temple. We got gods, we've got pumas, we've got dragons, we've got rabbit tribes. I mean, as entertaining as Joey Ryan has been, I think the temple will be just fine without either one of them.
Yeah, it's true. Then we wouldn't have to worry about being snitched on about anything that we got going on.
That's
with these
true.
Undercover
yeah.
cops.
You know what? Yeah, I'm crossing my fingers for you, buddy. We need to get Joey Ryan put down before he gets to any sort of higher authority. But we, as we found out earlier on in the night, Son of Havoc and Son of Madness in a Boiler Heights biker brawl. Alliteration is a thing here in the temple, folks. But Son of Havoc and Son of Madness, it's you know, pretty back and forth affair. These two, obviously, we've talked about this in the past, very, very evenly matched. There was a moment here where Son of Madness just throws Son of Havoc up into the crowd, and then he used the trash can to step up onto the railing and jumped onto him. That was not too far from us, so had it been over a couple sections, like, we could have just been sitting there with a whole bunch of Son of's in our lap, which would have been fairly awkward, but thankfully that didn't happen. This match, you know, goes on. There's trash cans and just all, they're outside the ring for a bulk of the beginning of the match, just really laying into one another. We ultimately get the ending here with Son of Havoc hitting Son of Madness with a bottle kind of from out of nowhere. And he hits his shooting star press for the win. And have we seen the last of these two? Like, I don't know. This feels like a feud that can't end until one of them has passed. Like, I honestly can't foresee either one of them ever letting go of this.
Well, that's kind of what Son of Madness said. He said he's going to bring Havoc back. Whether he's going to bring his head back, you know, he's coming back one way or another. If it's going to be alive or dead. So Madness has a mission to do, and I guess Havoc kind of beat him this time around, but I don't think it's over between these two.
No, and we saw Son of Madness try to, like, kind of bully around Masquerita Sagrada in that first match, which sort of prompted Son of Havoc to come out, and, you know, maybe Son of Madness sees a soft spot there, and we know Son of Havoc and Masquerita Sagrada are buddies, and that they had a weird period of time where they hung out in Son of Havoc's basement. And their mother, like, served them snacks. It was very weird. It was a rough time in Son of Havoc's life, and the Rabbit Kings, for that matter. But yeah, maybe Son of Madness holds the Rabbit King hostage, and we get some sort of the rest of the Son of Gang comes in to try to help out. And I don't know, man. This could go any number of ways. Obviously, hopefully, Paul London is keeping a close eye on Masquerita Sagrada so that doesn't happen. But I mean, we've already done a Boiler Heights biker brawl. What's next? Like, how do we escalate this anymore?
Oh, man. Boiler Heights Biker Brawl. Shoot, unless you come bring in some of these old school matches that I used to talk about, like a barnyard match or a haystack match. I don't really know what else kind of things you could have going on in the temple.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen death matches and grave consequences matches. It's not necessarily like the vibe I'm getting from these two. Maybe we get like a chain match. Maybe we get some sort of like, maybe they just do a race like old school, like Greece. So you just have them out there and they just boom. We have some hot chick drop a flag and they just have like a drag race. I don't know.
Or they play chicken. A biker thing would be they play chicken. Like, let's, like you said, let's have let's find a nice sexy lucha in the temple and let's have her kind of do the go flag thing, and they race to the edge of a cliff.
There you go.
And there you go.
Oh, shit. I'm interested in that now. I don't know where exactly, what cliff we might have to do this in. It's hard enough to kind of keep all this into the temple, but man.
Hey, Dario goes big. Let's do the Grand Canyon.
Oh, hell yeah. All right, Dario, make that happen, folks. Make that happen. We can do this. Wow, maybe we could just see if they, maybe they just jump over the Grand Canyon. We got like a just an Evel Knievel thing and they end up just like hunging it out at the end.
There you go, that works too.
Oh yeah, I really, in case we haven't made it very clear, or I haven't made it very clear, I still don't understand the whole biker gang thing, but nonetheless, these two clearly sworn enemies, and you know, hell of a back and forth, hell of a main event for the night. Not, you know, we've had the Cueto Cup, we had a championship match, we had several big information dumps, essentially, that happened a couple weeks back. This episode, I mean, any night in the temple is usually a good night. This was not one of the better ones.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed we didn't get any of the major superstars tonight. I mean, we did get, like, Phoenix, but not in, like, a main match. He wasn't showcased. But, I mean, for the most part, we did get to see some guys come back. I mean, Arjenis coming back after his arm being broken. We hadn't seen Havoc and Madness in a while. So I enjoyed the show, even though it wasn't their top stars. But, you know, maybe those guys needed to heal up. You know, they just got done with the Cueto Cup.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, that's definitely something to that. And we haven't seen a bunch of these performers in the back. I was talking to one of the other believers who happened to have been sitting over by Stryker and Vampiro. They said that Ultima Lucha Trace is going to be a four-night event where we're going to have to be coming back for quarters, essentially, of Ultima Lucha Trace. I mean, the first year it was one night. The first year it was two nights. The second year it was three nights. Now we're going on to four nights. Like, this is an extravagant event that we're going to be having this year. We only have one match announced. And, I mean, while you and I could kind of put together what the rest of the matches will be based on Dario's excellent booking habits, but what are you looking most forward to right now as we're looking forward to Ultima Lucha Trace?
Well, I've actually got a little something in the works. You know, we might actually get a surprise match at Ultima Lucha Trace. Bringing in the three-headed monster, me, you, and Hayes, tag team, we're going for the tag team gold as a three-headed monster called Cerberus. That's our tag team name.
Cerberus, I like it. Yeah, you know what? Those trios titles have not been defended in a while. I guess they don't have the 30-day rule in the temple, but yeah, you know what? Rabbit Tribe, or Reptile Tribe, rather, get at us. You guys need challengers? We're ready to roll.
I mean, Cerberus fits right into the temple. And if we don't get booked, I mean, like, there's a lot of matches that can go down. I mean, Batanza is going to come after Ray at that 100th episode, and Ray might make it out, and then you might have something go down at Ultima Lucha Trace. Johnny Mundo's definitely going to probably be defending his title.
Oh, yeah, he's definitely. Him and Puma, that's booked already. We got that. That's the only match.
Wasn't there another one that was booked tonight, too?
No, we got the Ray Mysterio-Matanza match booked for 2 weeks from now. And oh, you're right. We got the Marty Moth versus Phoenix, versus Mask.
And isn't the 5-0 match at Ultima Lucha Trace too?
No, that'll be next week.
Okay, that's right. That's right. Okay. So yeah, so Marty the Moth and Phoenix. So we got already Phoenix is in there for Ultima Lucha Trace. That's another reason to watch right there.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Phoenix, man. Phoenix is just, there's something about Phoenix. I can't quite, again, it's one of these things in the temple that, because it just shakes all of my every value and bit of knowledge that I've ever had. I cannot put a finger on a lot of what I'm feeling here, but Phoenix, man, like, he just comes in like a house of fire, beats up Marty the Moth, beats up Mariposa, grabs his super hot chick, rolls out in his Pontiac Firebird. Like, Phoenix is that dude.
Yeah, I mean, I he may be more manlier than, well, he's more manlier than Joey Ryan right now, because fuck cops, fuck Joey Ryan for being a cop.
So if we could put Joey Ryan's chest hair on Phoenix, would he be like your ideal role model?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he had the Magnum PI mustache has a lot to do in what makes you a man. So I honestly think he's got that Magnum PI mustache under that mask.
Well, we may very well find out at Ultima Lucha Trace should Marty the Moth come away victorious. I'm not optimistic for Marty's chances, and frankly, Marty keeps playing this angle like Phoenix is so ugly under there. I'm not buying it. I bet he's like a perfectly good-looking dude under there.
Yeah, I don't think. I'm pretty sure Melissa's seen him with his mask off.
That's what I'm assuming as well. So at least we're on the same page there. Anyway, anything else we have to say before we go ahead and turn off the highway here, leave Kayfabe County, and remind the people that we did this all for the love of Lucha?
Yeah, I had to get a new phone since being released, and I don't have your Twitter information anymore.
Oh, well, luckily, I mean, I'm spouting it off on a regular basis, so I happen to have it handy. You could find me on Twitter at WWPNBello. That's WWPN, B as in boy, ELLO.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm still at Wrestling Redneck. I'm pretty sure you still got my information in your phone.
I do, and that's RASSLINREDNECK.
Yep.
Beautiful. All right, well, I'm looking forward to seeing you on the Twitterverse, and like I said, I'm going to go ahead and turn off the highway here. Folks, we did it. This has been For the Love of Lucha here on the Wrestling World Podcast Network. We put our lives on the line, and once again, we did it all for the love of Lucha. Yeah. We'll see you next week.
Hold up. Get right with you. I'ma get right with you. Bad bitches, fuck them, then dismiss them. Bad. Woo. I ain't really here to take no pictures. Flash. Middle finger up for the system. Fuck them. Yeah. Coop is robotic, I ain't touching. Nah. Looking at your hoe because she bussin'. Yeah. Woo. Riding in that coop with the wings. Yeah. Going to Thailand with them chains. Yeah. Chains. Percocet. Party serving fiends. Yeah. Swear to God, my blood was Vietnamese. Taliban, my drugs, rap them.